world.
You don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
But you need to prepare for and assume.
Strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China.
This is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the U.S., Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the U.S.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver has contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens...
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Pandemic. We're live from the nation's capital, from Capitol Hill, immediately across from the Supreme Court of the United States and across from the plaza of where our nation's capital sits. It's episode 46, War Room Pandemic. From now on, for the next at least couple of weeks, we're going to fold in the 2020 show into pandemic, since everything's around this this pandemic and this economic contagion that is engulfing not just the United States and the world. We're on the John Frederick Radio Network. On AmericasVoice.news, the streaming platform of the Trump revolution, that is Dish Channel 219 on Newsmax TV. Also on FM 91, 99.1, and 103.9 in Chicago and the Chicago suburbs. And globally on Nexus.org, IRRS. You can get us everywhere from South America to the Middle East, Africa, India, and Eastern Europe, particularly Northern Italy. Want to hear all your comments. Make sure you go to today. And then later in the day, it'll be up with subtitled in Mandarin and Cantonese on the GNews platform into mainland China and to Hong Kong. You can join the show by hashtag War Room Pandemic, hashtag War Room Pandemic. Okay, my wingman from 2020 show, Jason Miller, who is the communication strategist for the Trump 16 campaign and also for the transition in the Trump White House. Jack Maxey, who runs the engine room. We've got the our guys Greg Manns in the war room itself to give us data and all that. Is another historic day. This is Black Monday Deuce, another meltdown on the New York Stock Exchange. Actually, capital markets all night. A historic event yesterday where the Federal Reserve, really the central bank of the world, announced a pretty dramatic rate cut on a Sunday afternoon, never done before. Took our interest rates down to zero immediately. The Dow Jones Industrial Futures fell and hit the what we call the kill switch, the limit down. Then we had meltdowns in markets from Japan to India to Thailand, all the way across now to Europe, as people start to sort out what exactly is going on with this pandemic. I think people feel they got to solve the pandemic first before the global economy is going to start coming back. At 10 o'clock today, President Trump and President Macron of France will co-chair a G7 video conference. This is the first time they've ever had a video conference, all the leaders of the G7. They will talk about a unified, coordinated approach to solving this pandemic, as now Europe is honestly, Jack, is Europe today, as we sit here, we'll go through some numbers in a second, is actually worse, at least on the official numbers, and we know the CCP lies, but at least on the official numbers, is worse today than Hubei province and Wuhan was at the top of the game. There is very situation in Europe, and hey, the when they were at the top of the game, that was the they had already started to go through the radical quarantining things that started to get the numbers down. You're not seeing that in Europe at all. They're playing catch-up ball, and some are not playing ball at all, like the United Kingdom. But we're going to get to Spain, France, Germany, all in a little while, as Italy itself has had just a terrible night overnight. And the, you remember Dave Ramaswamy and the concept of exponential growth. Exponentiality is these numbers double every couple of days. What we want to focus on today in the second hour, we got John Charles on the top venture capitalist in the world, and Dr. Winters from St. John's Hospital, this very renowned institution in Santa Monica, California. He'll be telling us he's the head or the former head of infections at that hospital, talking about ICU units. But I want to go first to Dr. Maria Ryan. And by the way, guys, if we see anything on the market, I think I just jump in. Any breaking news we have whatsoever?
I think there's one thing that should be said today. I mean, today, The official numbers of globally infected have surpassed the numbers in China.
Yeah.
And the number of globally dead have surpassed the number of dead in China. So this is kind of
the official number in China.
The official number, but I mean, this is kind of
this is without also the radical efforts that China did. As bad as the CCP is, they understood when their regime was in trouble, they fully shut down. Hubei province is the size of France geographically, and about 80 million people, and they locked it down hard, and they locked down Wuhan, which is larger than New York City, in a tight quarantine door-to-door. You don't see this fact. The concept people are talking about is hospital exhaustion. What happens with ICU? You know, number of beds you've got, ICU units, ventilators, staff, right? You're seeing this in Italy right now, where Italy is on the tipping point of a collapse, and it's a collapse both from its health service, the number of doctors you got that are infected, right, that then the whole thing can implode, and then you've got the economy, and you have the Italian banks. So they're in, Newt Gingrich wrote an amazing piece in a Newsweek magazine from Rome, where his wife is the ambassador to the Vatican. He's in Rome and remains with her, that's saying, hey, I'm seeing it up close and personal here in Italy, and it's not pretty, and the United States has got to get ahead of this. So I want to bring in Dr. Maria Ryan, the CEO of Cottage Hospital, up in Woodsville, New Hampshire. Now, they serve 26 communities between New Hampshire, rural communities between New Hampshire and Vermont. They're kind of the backbone of the deplorables medical care delivery system. She's the tip of the spear. So, Dr. Ryan, when we hear this concept they're talking about, now you see all the way from Governor Inslee talking about Seattle, Washington. You see Governor Cuomo on TV talking about New York City. This idea of hospital exhaustion. What are hospital administrators like yourself thinking of when you start to think about this pandemic? How's it going to affect you guys, and how are you getting ready for it in advance?
Well, thank you for having me on the War Room. I'm very happy and humbled to be on your show. I'm an admirer. And I thank you.
Sure.
First, I'd like to start with that the term pandemic means a virus or an issue has gone across many geographical areas. It doesn't mean that there's going to be lots of deaths or anything else. And people can confuse that term pandemic. Having said, this is a new virus to all of us, to all the epidemiologists, to everybody. That's why it's called novel coronavirus, new, meaning new. It's so we named it COVID-19. It is similar to influenza, although we can't really judge that either at this point. Next year, when we look back and can analyze cases, we certainly could do that. I feel as hospitals, we're ready for the charge. I really do. I do want to point out, starting in the 90s and early 2000s, there was a real big push to lower our hospital beds. Inpatient care costs money. You have to have professionals on 24/7, so there was a real push to have a lot of surgeries done on an outpatient surgery center or any place that's a lower cost center. So we do have less beds today than we did a decade ago. But having said that, all of us do emergency preparedness drills. We do active shooter. We do massive pandemics. And Cottage Hospital, during the H1N1 period, we started to stockpile. And again, with Ebola, there was federal funding at that time. So I have trailers on the property, and I have gowns, IV fluids, masks, and that came to serve my community well recently. There's a federally qualified health center in Vermont who ran out of masks and gowns and couldn't get any from their supplier. So Cottage was able to help them out with that. But we do all drills, we prepare. If we do some of the things that are recommended, we're not going to see a massive amount of people dying from this. There are going to be deaths, and I don't want to say this isn't serious. This is serious, but I do want to put a little context in here. This flu season that began October 1 and it's starting to wind down, we lost 22,000 souls, and of which 144 were children. there was 370,000 hospitalizations and about 36 million flu tests that were positive. And that's a moderate flu season. So we're used to handling viruses, contagious things. Measles is probably the worst contagious type virus.
Let me ask you, as you look at, because there's some confusion out there, from a hospital's perspective, as you look at the difference between the flu and something like the Wuhan or the novel coronavirus, how do you approach that as a administrator and as your doctors on the front line in the emergency room in the ICU unit?
Yeah, because this is flu season and the symptoms are similar. Fever, cough, body ache, it's a respiratory illness. We will, and if somebody has symptoms, we do both tests. We'll test them for influenza and we'll test them for COVID-19. The COVID-19, we go a bit further with questioning now. Have you traveled to one of the level 2, level 3 countries? Were you exposed to somebody who was positive? Because what's happening right now, everybody wants to get tested. And we don't even know how many influenzas truly we have because people take care of themselves at home.
When you say tested, if somebody's up in the Woodsville area, you handle 26 relatively economically struggling communities in New Hampshire, so you're the classic provider for the deplorables. Do you actually have the testing kits? There's a big controversy. I look at Morning Joe this morning, their heads are blown up because of the testing. Can you say, as the tip of the spear, do you have access to the testing today as we speak so people can come in the Woodsville area and get tested for coronavirus?
Easily. I see the television reports, too, and I'm just not sure what the issue is, whether they're all depending on their public labs. We have not. From the get-go, our tests have gone to LabCorp, a private company, although we are changing that if it's a healthcare worker. If it's a healthcare worker who we believe has symptoms and may have been exposed, we are going to do that test at the public health department because it's a faster turnaround time. We are, unfortunately, with LabCorp, it's 24 to 48 hours. To get the test results back.
Dr. Ryan, we got a time limit here, but last question. For the audience out there, and this goes all over the world, but particularly for people in the United States right now with all these kind of questions out there, what would be your recommendation of the two or three things people should be focused on right now, either separation or hygiene or whatever? What would you recommend they do to try to lower the curve here?
Great question. One, wash your hands frequently. And wash them really well under the nails, each finger, at least 20 seconds, rinse thoroughly. The other thing I wanted to point out is how to cough properly. Number one, really, if you're sick, you should stay home. A lot of us think that you got to go to work no matter what. Stay home if you're sick. Anyways, it really bothers me when I see people with a fever. Out in public, you're just asking to spread any kind of disease. But we noticed last night with Joe Biden during the presidential debate, he coughed in his hand. And I grew up like that, too. In my generation, we were taught you cough in your hand, that was the polite thing. But I have to say, for the last maybe 6-7 years, we've been teaching people to do what's called the vampire cough, where you cough in your elbow. All children, that's the only way they know how to do it now. Or if you have a tissue, cough in that tissue, throw it away, and wash your hands. But really, some of the most important things you can do. One, sick people, stay home. Stay home, stay home, stay home. Number two, wash your hands. If you're healthy, wash your hands frequently. Year round, try to be your best self. Be very, healthy. Get exercise, eat right, and the stronger you are, the better. Don't smoke.
Doctor,
this is a respiratory illness.
Dr. Ryan, we've got to bounce. I want to thank you very much for joining us here. Very enlightening. And I want to move to Woodsville this afternoon. my new hospital, the cottage hospital up in... we're sending Raheem Kassam up there immediately. Dr. Ryan, thank you very much for joining us.
It's beautiful, Tom. I'll take good care of you. The last point I want to say... because there are limited amount of supplies, because this should teach us not to depend on China, India for our supplies. We need to do these things here in the United States for our drugs.
Thank you, Dr. Lyons. Appreciate it.
Healthy, do not eat them out.
Thank you. We got to bounce. We'll be back in 1 second on War Room Pandemic. Episode 46, live from Capitol. It is Black Monday, Deuce, 16 March, year of 2020. Jack Maxey, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon, our colleague Raheem Kassam is going to join us here momentarily. By the way, I know the White House does. Certain people listen to the show, and I'm with John Spurgeon in the show right here, Pandemic. Please, White House communication staff, book Dr. Maria Ryan. We've been doing this show since the middle of January. And that is probably one of the most calming responses we've had. She's from a small hospital that services 26 economically depressed communities in the western New Hampshire-Vermont border, okay? And you see right there, Vermont-New Hampshire border, and you see right there that, testing's not a problem. Come on, and get a test. We could have Raheem in the car. We could actually get an Uber and driven Raheem to Woodsville, to the Cottage Hospital in Woodsville, New Hampshire. Raheem would have had the test. They would have given him some Tamiflu for his thing. He would have been back in operation a week ago. You know, one of the interesting things with Dr. Ryan is that I think it's with her background as a family nurse practitioner, in addition to being a doctor and an expert in emergency medicine. A lot of times people talk about doctors and bedside manners, but usually doctors don't because they're very clinical. It's very analytical in their response, but a nurse has much more of a caring feeling. I'm going to go and get you through this. Here's what you need to do. The thing I appreciate about Dr. Ryan, excellent grasp of facts.
Yep.
The stats, the trend, the timing. It's
what you prep people in town. Come in with facts. Come in with analysis. Come in and don't
know happy talk. Just hit it with the facts and then you can frame it with happy talk. I feel. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay this overall crisis that we're in by any stretch. If we have every hospital administrator in the country, if we're near that level of preparedness, I feel so much better about it.
No, this is the thing, too. We've got an amazing, the healthcare service guys up in the uniform yesterday.
We have tremendous, the doctors and nurses in this country, the first responders, the tip of the spear, the administrators, we are very blessed to have the hospital system. And you're going to see in this crisis, they're going to come to the thing. But I think the way she just was a calming influence that we've got this, we practice, we do drills, we get the trailers, etc. shows you somebody that's on, they're on the balls of their feet. They're on the balls of their feet. they've delayed the 10:30 is not gonna be 3:30. They ought to helicopter her in today, show me next to Dr. Fauci. Thing. This is obviously a crisis, but we are going to get through this, and we're going to get through it. Remember what Trump said. Nothing is inevitable. This is all about human action. Look, I think we've seen some real leadership. I think Governor Cuomo, ideologically, not my cup of tea, but he has done an extraordinary job. His press conference yesterday was fantastic. What he's asking for the Army Corps of Engineers. They've got a very different situation in New York City than they have up in rural New Hampshire. So we're trying to get in. By the way, we're going to have Dr. Winter on from Santa Monica, California, later in the day to talk about this concept of hospital exhaustion. We always try to be ahead of the curve here. We talked about things back in January that now CNN and people are saying are big revelations, the concept of how you think about transmission, et cetera. Jack, before I bring Raheem in, you had an example. You're doing research all over the world. You said it was in New Zealand that...
There was a doctor in New Zealand, and he gave a very great description, I thought an elegant description, of how to deal with the social separation. And he said, what you have to consider is think of yourself not as somebody trying not to get infected. Consider yourself somebody who already is infected, and your job is to make sure you do not infect someone else. And if we get into a mindset like that, it just brings out the empathy and the operation of the interaction of people, and you're trying to protect them. If everybody thinks that way, we should have a better outcome.
What we're trying to do here on the show, and that's why we're going to the 2-hour now, we're trying to bring in both the issue of the pandemic, and not just the United States, but also globally, how this affects the world, because the world, you know, obviously affects us. Then also this economic crisis and how that's all interlinked, and how it's interlinked to your job and your paycheck. And then the financial crisis, which deals with even something deeper in these capital markets that drive the economy and or reflect the economy, and also have a huge impact in your personal life. So that's what we try to tie all three of those together in the sophisticated way as we possibly can, and present that to you every day with experts from throughout the world. I want to bring in now our colleague Raheem Kassam, has been kind of laid up for the last couple weeks. So Raheem, here's what I want to get you into instead of 11 o'clock hour now. Dr. Maria Ryan, up in really a rural hospital, small rural hospital in rural New Hampshire, really dealing with areas that are depressed because we shipped all the jobs to China, right? So she's dealing with it. And she said, hey, we have tests. Come in. We got tests. We use the LabCorp. We can get it out, get it back very quickly, et cetera. We could have literally put you in an Uber 2 weeks ago, sent you up there, had a test, had you back, and had you better. Walk people through. You actually went through the official channels, right, and did the original kind of CDC test?
Steve, the line is very poor considering I first met you, so I assume you just asked me to walk you through what I went through, which was right at the very beginning of this whole process when nothing was in place. I had all the symptoms that we told to look out for. Everything about shortness of breath, everything. Obviously, you know, we were right at the beginning of it, and I took a various number of doctors' advice and turned myself in to the Georgetown University Hospital here in Washington, D.C. They ran the first round of tests. I sit, the way it works is you sit and you go in, at least this is how it worked for me at the very beginning. Go in, they separated me from everyone else in the emergency room, immediately brought me into my own room, and basically ran a series of tests. They take your temperature, they take your blood pressure, they draw blood, they take all of that different things. And then at that point, when they were able to prove or anything else, i.e. H1N1, influenza, any of that, then my doctor got on the phone with the Department of Health. They authorized a test to be used on me. They authorized the test. The test then gets done to me. Now, the test itself is a fairly quick, but definitely uncomfortable thing. It's a bit of a spiky stick. They stick up your nose right up as far as they can go. It was right into my brain, basically. Into each nostril, they swab, they then package that up, and then they do the same thing to your throat. Right into the back of your throat, a scrape of the back of the throat on both sides of the back of your throat. So you have to kind of keep it there and really try not to gag and try not to close your mouth around it. And then they package that up and send that away as well. Now, at the time, we were told 72 hours as a maximum to come back. As that time drew on, as everybody knows out there, I'll be keeping everybody abreast and making sure to see while I've been here in quarantine at home. It actually went from 72 hours to more like 4.5 days by the end of the result to come back. Now, the situation has changed. That's no longer the case. You know, obviously, we've got these drive-through tests, but also the testing has moved from being sent out to the CDC and the local departments of health. Most places have more closer places that they can do testing. The Georgetown University Hospital where I went actually has on-site somewhere that they send the test now, as they explained to me. But all in all, as one of the first, I think one of the first 1,000 that got tested in the United States, I was probably in the first couple of hundred, it was a very, very, you know, they were not ready for this. And my doctor said to me, actually, that I was the first one that she had ever done.
Wow. I want to pivot very quickly. I only got a couple of minutes, and I'm glad that you passed the test eventually when Raheem gets decontaminated sometime in the future, right? He'll be back live in the studio with us when we're in a pandemic. Raheem, well, I've got you. We're going to turn to some global stuff when we get back after break, but I'll be honest with you. I'm absolutely stunned by the attitude of the British government. For people at home, there's two ways you can do this. You can actually take dramatic action to try to have social separation, and you've seen that in China, you've seen it in South Korea, you've seen it in Italy, over late, you're starting to see it in the United States, you're seeing it in Germany and France, but in the United Kingdom is taking a radically different approach of called herd immunity to just let this thing go to the population. Can you walk through how is that possible in the United Kingdom, and is there going to be a massive blowback by the population?
the theory behind this, and now the government is saying the herd immunity strategy, which is therefore basically to expose as many people as possible as early on as possible so that we develop some kind of national immunity to this situation. There's a theory behind this goes that actually there is an immunological response, and therefore you won't pick back up viral infections as it swings back around into the winter next year. Now, people are skeptical of that, obviously, because we don't know what the immune response is. We don't know if there is a distinct immune response and one that can genuinely fight this thing off if you get it a second time, or whether or not it's contagious a second time, and so on and so forth. But the really curious thing here is not just that they are exposing people, but also that the numbers coming out of the United Kingdom now fundamentally cannot be believed. They updated the numbers overnight. They just came out. It's up another 170 overnight. But they're actually not testing people. They're not checking people. They're not admitting people to hospitals. They're not even telling people to go to their doctor's surgery. They're not telling people to isolate. They're not doing the social distancing thing. And so, you know, far from the United Kingdom, you should have been the last one added to the travel ban list. And all evidence points to the fact we should have been the first or the second after Italy on this. And I think it's deeply irresponsible, given the fact we don't know enough about this virus yet to implement something like that. The problem is, a lot of people in a welfareist country like the United Kingdom, they are just blindly following the government and saying, okay, this isn't a big deal, we're just going to go about our daily lives. That's deeply concerning to me, and I've had many anecdotal stories from home in the United Kingdom about people being turned away, not looked at properly, not being reported as cases when they're showing all the symptoms. We're keeping a very close eye on it, Steve, but the United Kingdom is really, really pulling something different out of left field here, and I think Americans have to be very grateful that Donald Trump and his administration are actually taking active measures and precautions on this.
Raheem Ghassan, thank you very much. Raheem, one of our co-hosts here, who actually went through the test, he's going to be quarantined. He'll be back with us hopefully later in the week. We're going to take a short break or return here on Dish Channel 219, America's Voice, with the entire team. We're going to go around the world, also talk about the debate last night, specifically Joe Biden's action. He's kind of set up a shadow cabinet, a government in exile, I call it, to compete with Donald Trump on the best of virus. We're going to return in a moment on War Room, Pandemic, live from Washington, D.C.
War Room, Pandemic,
the epidemic is a demon.
From our nation's capital, it's Black Monday 2, the world financial markets in a total meltdown. Washington, D.C., 15th March, year of our Lord 2020. It's episode 46 of War Room Pandemic. It's now expanded to 2 hours a day. Also at 5 o'clock this evening on WABC in New York, we'll be doing a special War Room Pandemic for the greater metropolitan tri-state area to walk through all the issues they're facing. WABC at 5 o'clock. I'm very honored to be asked to do that. I want to get into the politics over. We've put 2020, our other hot show, on hiatus. And the reason is the pandemic is everything, and politics are being subsumed about this. Except, Mr. Jason Miller, last night, I can beat up Donald Trump. And I'm not trying to defend Trump here, but how can they beat up Trump every second of every day on every panel and then host that debate last night? In fact, I want to play a brief clip from that.
Do you say to the American people who are confronting this new reality?
First of all, my heart goes out to those who have already lost someone.
Steve, I mean, Joe Biden can't even get through his first answer without coughing. He ended up last night, he coughed 6 times. Bernie Sanders coughed 8 times with 2 sniffles. It was audible.
And when we're counting coughs, you know that the nation's triggered, right?
Yeah,
well, people are so focused on social separation. If you look at the CNN panels now, there's like 2 people on a panel. Feet apart.
Yeah, and here's the thing yesterday, and here's, I was really upset that CNN hosted this debate last night. I thought it was reckless, I thought it was irresponsible, I thought it was divisive in a time when we were supposed to be unified. So I want to go and set the stage here. This was the, and plus the other thing too, the Democratic primary is already locked up. Joe Biden has this thing. They did not need to have this. Bernie Sanders was even openly saying that his people are saying they just want to chop Joe Biden down. There was no need to have this
debate. And you're not saying you want to take away a platform for, if Joe Biden's got alternatives, the country has to come together. But hey,
somebody can have alternatives for how President Trump's doing it. There's obviously areas you can criticize. You can have different opinions. Biden kind of put together what they call a shadow government, like the British do, of experts, to provide a platform for him to opine, criticize, make observations. I don't think that even separates us in coming together. Everybody can have different ideas or better ideas. But you don't need to have a primary debate in the middle of this, particularly when you're trying to get everybody now to focus on what the crisis we have before us.
Right, but this was not an idea forum last night. This was when they went to the question on how to deal with coronavirus. This became a bash fest on President Trump. But it wasn't. It's not even just that it was a bash fest. It was all pablum. There were no real.
What do you mean by pablum?
Meaning that it was all just, as you would say, Steve, word salad. It was a bunch of we need to test people. We need to make sure that we have strong leadership in this time of crisis. It was all basically just Mad Libs that you would get if someone gave you a bunch of just, you know, like Reese Witherspoon was at, you know, election, whatever the movie was. If you had just a bunch of political happy talk of, I've heard 1,000 other politicians use the exact same thing. Now, Joe Biden did do essentially his own plan last week. I believe it was last Thursday.
He had a press conference, made an announcement.
His delivery was very good. It was very good. But even then, almost everything was plagiarized. You know, intentional 1988 reference there, from things Trump had already done. So when he said no effort should be spared, well, of course, Trump's already moving ahead with the private labs and academic hospitals. When he said Biden said small businesses need relief, Trump's already pushed ahead with the 50 million liquidity. You go on down the list, and the few original ideas that Biden had were very generic and cookie cutter at best, such as there should be at least 10 drive-through centers in every state for testing. Okay, well, we've heard Dr. Fauci yesterday say that by the end of the week, there are going to be those all over the country. So it wasn't as though there was some great insight that Joe Biden was bringing. But the thing, too, is, look, the optics were weird. Yeah, as you said, you had Bernie and Biden up there, you know, at least 6-10 feet apart from each other. The moderators who were in studio with no audience were, you know, seemingly at least 30 feet back. And afterwards, I mean, nobody wanted to shake Joe Biden's hand. I mean, Joe Biden got up to the table, and you see it, Jake Tapper's leaning back in his seat. He couldn't get away from their fat. He's like, nah, dog, I'm good. Like, I don't need to shake your hand, Joe. And he's leaning back. But it's also to Benny Johnson over at Turning Point USA had a great point. He did like a screen thing, but there were Sanders and Biden yelling at each other. They were literally doing that Spider-Man meme where it's the two twins pointing. It's like these two old white guys pointing. And here's the thing. But it's
two old crazy white guys.
But here's the thing, too, with Joe Biden. I think this debate's really going to hurt him. He goofed everything up. He confused coronavirus with Ebola, with SARS. He was calling it the N1H15 virus. He was going, and people are like, what are you talking about? There are some other things which I know we're focusing on coronavirus, but we won't get into right now, but the way that Biden, in his own words, without a gun to his head, said that he wants to stop all oil drilling, stop all fracking, he wants to stop all coal, these pro-sanctuary cities. No one will get deported in the first 100 days.
I think the great thing about the crisis, a lot of these issues are going to start to come up about sanctuary cities and other things like this, about how you keep the health security of the American people and the American citizens, safe. But focused on the pandemic and on coronavirus, there was nothing new that was put forward. There were no good ideas. It was basically just an opportunity for Biden and Bernie to bash President Trump, again, dividing the country more.
Let's talk about it. Trump, I would make an observation, is that there are obviously dozens and dozens and dozens of Dr. Maria Ryans out there. And right now what you have is too many Raheem Kassams and his stories of can't get tested. I've heard so many people say, I call around, I get the runaround, I don't know where to go. As Raheem, he didn't even talk about it. He got the runaround for a couple of days, even where to go. But that was at the beginning. Now it's different. You got dozens and dozens of Dr. Maria Ryans out there. Those are the ones that ought to be out on the forefront of not just putting forward the administration's position, but calming people down by saying, hey, we got this. We know it could be bad, and we know we can have a problem, but we're competent, we're trained, we're now getting resources, and we got this. The other thing is I don't think it behooves the president to go back and start
talking about the swine flu epidemic and everything that happened in the Obama administration. Hey, that was then, this is now. You know, people, it's not going to be a whataboutism. It's going to be, hey, what are the actions day to day? What are the results? What's going to happen? People don't care about history. They care about themselves and their jobs now and the country now going forward.
Great point. The Joe Biden we saw last night cannot defeat Donald Trump.
The only
person who can defeat Donald Trump is Donald Trump. If President Trump leads us through this crisis, as I believe that he is going to get reelected.
He's going to get weighed and measured by the American people. And look, they did it in 16 and said, hey, we want Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, over a career politician. We like his populism. We like his economic nationalism. And here, as you said, you're the first one to call it back in January in the old War Room impeachment show when we were just starting the pandemic show. Episode beforehand, you said, hey, this is a wartime presidency. Everybody's picked up on that meme now.
Even Joe Biden last night.
Joe Biden did too, yeah.
Biden, when
he
said
war footing or something.
Yeah, he said the coronavirus pandemic is like a war, and in a war, you do whatever is needed to be done to take care of your people. And he went about like a minute-long riff. It was largely playing on what Andrew Cuomo had done as far as...
Do we have Cuomo? I want to go to Cuomo, because Cuomo is a particular guy that I think has stepped up for leadership. Look, he's got a very different problem than Dr. Maria Ryan up in New Hampshire. In rural New Hampshire. He's got, you know, I think the most important city in the world. It is the center of the global capital markets. It's the center of the global media. It's culturally, economically, financially, it is the kind of the capital of the world, right? The world system we have. Got many different nationalities there. It's a world, and it's got some old infrastructure. And so he had a very good press conference yesterday. And his op-ed in the New York Times, I think, Trump did call for the emergency on Friday. What he was saying that I need Army Corps of Engineers, I'm going to need the Army actually deployed, was pretty powerful. Do we have that on tape?
You need a federalized response, especially on the looming crisis. And the looming crisis is that curve that everybody talks about is not a curve. It is a wave. And the wave is going to break on the hospital system. Projection that says our hospital system can handle this. We need the Army Corps of Engineers in here now, retrofitting old buildings, dormitories, etc., for more hospital capacity. That's what China did. That's what South Korea did. That's what Italy didn't do. And I have one of the largest state governments in the nation, but I can't build hospital beds in 3 weeks.
Now, Dr. Ryan brought up a very important part. This comes from the 90s when we decided it was too costly to have all these hospital beds in the old system we used to have. That's why you went to outpatient surgery. That's why if you're pregnant, you're not spending 3 days like my mom did, you know, you're in and out in a day. We've taken down the hospital bed. I think we have 900,000 hospital beds, 100,000 ICU units. What I was pretty surprised about, Cuomo's saying, I think he's got 3,000 ICU units in the 600 in the city. I've got a double check that number, but it seems to be very small when you consider how important New York and how big New York State is, given the whole.
Here's a little bit of breaking news. The U.S. Supreme Court has suspended oral arguments because of the coronavirus.
Wow. And you're seeing similar things in Miami-Dade. You're seeing it in California, where they've essentially said,
this is the court system.
The court system's all shutting down. I mean, this is, we know that today's 3:30 press conference was going to be 10:30. Now it's 3:30. What we're expecting to see are federal recommendations, not a mandatory national quarantine, but federal recommendations to state and local municipalities, essentially going on a high.
That was a big internet rumor that was flying around all weekend. I had people sending me this thing that they're thinking, look, people should understand. Over at the task force, and at the FBI, they're working on a ton of stuff. These people are working 24 hours a day, right? It almost in shifts. Peter Navarro was on TV earlier today, on Squawk by CNBC, and Peter went through a whole host of kind of, they're small but important things they're doing, flying in C-130s with masks on and swabs and stuff like that. So these people are working 24/7. They're also, what you need to do, they're giving a range of alternatives and recommendations to the president. So he's got a big palette of what's to paint for on this, which is what you want. And so are they going to quarantine the entire country? We don't know that.
What I do know is that they're looking at doing all types of analysis so the president's got those options in and when he thinks it's time to do it. I will say this. It's, look,
you got to get through this. It was somebody said the other day, when you're going through hell, go through as fast as you can, right? And we know the example, which we've kind of shown here from this January, and the reason we started this show was because of what was going on in Wuhan. That in China, and realize it's a dictatorship, but in South Korea, they did it one way. In Italy, they did it another way. But I got to tell you, the Italians, as late as they came to the party, did try to actually quarantine. They did more to quarantine areas than we've done today. In Lombardy, in northern Italy, they did try to take those 12 villages, or the 12 little towns, and quarantine them. And that it didn't work. When they went to the bigger quarantine, they leaked it. People slipped out. It's been very sloppy. But they did try to take some action they couldn't execute on. So you see these internet rumors. Remember, people are looking at a range of things. I think you're going to see today some recommendations Fauci and these guys are making.
Yeah, listen,
Dr. Fauci basically said yesterday when he was doing the round on the Sunday shows that that is one of the recommendations to start shutting down some of the bars and restaurants. We've seen California do it. We've seen Illinois, Ohio.
And the private numbers.
Las Vegas just shut down the casinos last night.
They shut down the casinos. New York City.
New York City, you can do takeout for bars and restaurants, but there's no... There's no restaurant or bar.
People see these private things like in Vegas and the casinos, and I see the sports league. That's also for contingent liability.
Yeah.
You don't want to have a casino. Somebody gets sick and say, hey, you had the floor open, and I was playing a blackjack table, and I got sick playing blackjack, and, you know, I'm suing you for $5 million. These guys are fairly prudent about how they want to not be sued. Okay, it's hashtag War Room Pandemic. Jack Maxey, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Banner. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're on Capitol Hill. We're live in our nation's capital on John Fredericks on America's Voice News. The great team there on Colorado. It's now just 219 on Newsmax. You can get us in a truncated form over the weekend. Also on radio nationwide. We're going to return from the nation's capital with a report on the global situation by Jack Maxey.
War Room.
War Room Pandemic is the way that you join the show. We're building a global community here. We want you to participate. Here's your observations, criticisms, your pointers, but most importantly, link us in the news. If you see things going on locally, we're trying to put this up on the site so it's a global platform for the deplorables to connect with each other. Episode 46, we're live from the nation's capital. What we try to do is tie together three things, the global health pandemic, the economic contagion that is kind of what I call the Main Street economic part, and also the Wall Street financial crisis, which today is a total and complete meltdown throughout the world. I think it's one of the reasons they bumped the 10:30 press conference to 3:30, and I do believe you will see Donald J. Trump stepping forward and leading that press conference today. I want to go to Jack Maxey now. Jack Maxey and the team have just done an incredible, incredible job of really tying together and being so far ahead of the curve on everything related to this crisis. Jack, I'm particularly, and here's what it was. Maria Luisa Rossi Hawkins was on the show, I think, 3.5, 4 weeks ago. The very first two people infected in Italy. And now we're at a crisis. And it seems to me Italy's only getting worse. What's the latest?
Well, they have 24,700 cases now, and it's like almost 2,000 dead. So you can imagine what's going on in Italy.
398 last night.
And I think this highlights the reality, Steve, that there is this kind of, and I know that there are no inevitabilities, but there is a sort of inevitability about the fact that this is going to roll through a population. Now, Italy is using draconian measures, and they are not necessarily, like, slowing it down. So one of the things that we've debated about what's going on with Great Britain, what's going on with Switzerland, is that
Germany,
they're making this mental calculation, right? If there is this kind of inevitability about it, is do we do more damage by shutting down the economy at the same time, or do we try to reassure the people that the vast majority will be able to ride through it, and it's really our elderly that we have to focus on? I will say Singapore today came out with a pretty bold statement against what they're doing. It's the one of the top ministers in Singapore was talking about new travel restrictions. He's putting Great Britain on that list. He's putting Japan on this list. He's putting Switzerland on this list. And he talks about these countries, and he says, in the case of the UK,
It is rising very rapidly, but it's not about the numbers, but the fact that these countries have abandoned any attempt at containing the spread of the virus. They have said so publicly, especially the UK and Switzerland.
I don't know how on Wednesday they didn't put a UK travel ban, knowing that they have a radical...
This in the very first episode of the show with Dr. Hatfield, who's now beavering away throughout the city, so that's why he can't join us in the studio, is that he talked about, and it struck me as such a bizarre term, herd immunity, that this whole thing is just letting it run. The UK has made a conscious decision in other nations like Switzerland, and now you're seeing guys like Singapore, and I think the United States saying, hey, if that's how you're going to play it, we're just going to lock down on you guys, right? Because we're trying to do both containment and mitigation. Containment and mitigation. Now, Jason, I want to go to you for a second. Jack will come back with more of a global update. Oh, the one thing also about the young. Talk about the soccer player in Spain, because Spain is now going to be another catastrophe. Spain, I believe, is going to be worse than Italy, and here's why. At least it came up when they did the first, this is why we had Maria Luisa on, because she's a top media set thing, and Berlusconi's from Milan. That northern industrial part of Italy is as sophisticated as any part of the American economy. I mean, Milan is the center of the fashion industry, right? And economic, these are major, I mean, it's the fourth or fifth biggest industrial power in the world, all in the north. They tried to shut it down. It was too late. But this whole thing is just happening with old people, and just old people die. What's happened in Spain? Didn't they have one of the top young coaches? Well, this is the thing that Spain has been warning us, that they are seeing a significant number of people in their 40s and their 50s who are requiring ICU treatment. This is one of the reasons why they're
creating... And these are not sick people. You got no athletes.
They had a soccer coach die overnight who was in his 20s in perfect health, and they just couldn't save him. So I think that everybody has to be aware that this is not just something that's going to affect someone else.
Yeah, everything, oh, it's just the 80 years. We only got a couple left in the first hour of War Room Pandemic. We're going to be back now every day, 2 hours, 10 to noon Eastern time. We'll be back in the next hour. But Jason... Is the administration moving? Here's two things. If you go back and look at the path of the United States, President Trump's taken two bold actions, minimum. He locked down access from China with the airlines back on January 31st. Only 8 days after Wuhan had shut down and after we started the show. And he quarantined Americans for the first time in 50 years and got jumped on by Joe Biden. Then on Friday, finally, he stepped up and took the national emergency. You saw the reaction of the stock market and just the confidence of people stepping in here. Do you think, given how you've sat here for 8 or 9, 10 weeks and seen the rest of the world, how they respond, the dramatic action of South Korea, the dramatic action of the Chinese Communist Party versus, like, France, Macron, who's just letting the wave come in, do you think they ought to take more direct, bold action?
Yes, and I think we're going to see that today at 3:30. I think we're going to see these federal recommendations, closing bars and restaurants, closing schools, essentially moving to a two-week, at a minimum here, quarantine.
You think so? We'll almost get to that closet.
Begin a recommendation.
Will he stop domestic air traffic?
I don't think so.
Should people be flying out of, and I think Governor Inslee's doing a good job, should people be flying out of Seattle, Washington, the rest of the country?
No.
Not at all.
I think
you're a guy, if you're a kid from Seattle.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think when we talk about the hot zones, we talk about Seattle, we talk about New Rochelle, we talk about anywhere else that's exploding, I think we need to have travel bans in place right now.
I mean, this is an all-hands-on-deck emergency. I think we're going
to
see
that. Is that overreaction even from the conservative media? I mean, you go to Chicago, Steve Cortez, and the governor had to shut down. Cortez sent me stuff all day Saturday.
All the mix are out for the St. Paddy's Day thing. The bars were packed on Saturday in Chicago in front of the governor's
idiot.
Okay, we're shutting this thing down. You see down, I got things from New Orleans last night. Guys are partying down in New Orleans. All the beaches in Florida, they're awful. Disneyland, hey, I think I just got to go back. The Disneyland had the big closing celebration. Everybody packed in. So the rest of the nation's like, what's the big deal?
I just got an alert from our guys who cover Homeland Security. And apparently tonight at 8 p.m. there's going to be a joint statement from New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey all together. No gatherings of 50 or more people. Restaurants, bars move to takeout delivery only. Gyms, theaters, casinos all closed in the tri-state area.
We're going to be on live at 5 o'clock on WABC. Okay, we're going to take a short break. This is War Room Pandemic. We're going to come back with the second hour of our show live from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Jack Maxey. Miller, Stephen K. Bennett. This has been episode 46. We're going to get into it. We got John Charles, one of the top venture capitalists in the world. We'll join us. Also, Dr. Winters from St. John's Hospital in L.A. All next, War Room Pandemic.
the rivers of my memory. If you ever
Nexus IRRS PO Box 10980 in